the show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So today, convening the Council of Positive Intrigue, we remember the utopian Fourier said, in any ideal community, we want to encourage the passion for intrigue, because when people conspire to pull off something good, it draws upon more elegant parts of the psyche. Woohoo! Woohoo! Spicy too. So who better than to play at this dark of the moon, this dark of the conspiratorial moon, than encore guest astro wizard Jerome McGeorge, Mondragon aficionado, worker on founder of Organic Valley, and at this dark conspiratorial dark of moon, we aspire to awaken all the positive sleeper cells, those born in 1941, 1952, the 60s, 1993, 2005, with a special look back into the last century. Declaring Inquisition over, in sense that it's safer for everyone to come out as a participatory animist, right? No Harvard daddy is looking over one's shoulder, we are not cringing. So welcome, Jerome.
Welcome to all of the visionary activists out there.
Yes, all the undercover agents, now no matter how trippy one's self-title has been, it's still trippier than that. It's like everybody out. So, yeah, we have many places we can go, but when we were speaking backstage, I go, ooh, the chart for today, right now, for all of us, has 11 plus Leo rising, which is a particular degree of undercover agents. I've seen this in many charts, mostly undercover agents for good, for positive intrigue, an evening lawn party lit up with lanterns outside the guests' exchange, liberating intelligence. I thought, oh, well, that's good, let's do this. And it is the dark of the moon before an amazing new moon that we might bring alive to. And there's no telling where we're going to go, but we have some themes before us. We were speaking of positive sleeper cells and the Uranus-Pluto conjunction of the 1960s of 1965 at 13 plus Virgo, whose image is a Ouija board. So we go, and I just like the idea that transiting Uranus now is about to bring that alive, right? So those of us who lived through the 60s, those born in the 60s, and then some other dates that we wanted to bring alive as well. Does that hum in you, this desire to bring the sleeper cells stirring?
It causes my flash on an aspect that is out of the 500-year cycle of Neptune and Pluto, which occurred in the 1890s. And
yes,
it was at that point, as a world transit, the ideas of the unconscious and a new shaping of human psychology and the quantum theories, the subatomic realm, exploding previous thinking at a new level of scientific revolution. And there's intrigue in both the unconscious and in the quantum realms.
Right. And I made a list of some people born with that Pluto, Neptune, dreams, vision. In Gemini, the power of symbols brought into conversational vernacular. So it's Charlie Chaplin, right, born 4 days before Hitler, right? But with his chart really humming to America, we have a birth time, and his moon's at 9 Scorpio, the secret soul of America degree, fellowship supper reunites old comrades, and his son is Kamala Harris's moon, a large audience for someone who liberates them from their expectations, which he did. And then Adolf Hitler, born 4 days later. So Chaplin was the antidote. And then I just made a fun list. Earl Stanley Gardner, Jean Cocteau, Dion Fortune, one of the great esoteric beings, Ho Chi Minh. I just stuck Basil Rathbone in there, the quintessential Dracula. Mae West, Paramahansa Yogananda, Mao Zedong, Mayor Baba, Aldous Huxley, and E.E. Cummings, but they're all, those are all the the Pluto, Neptune, Gemini bringing things into the conversation, humming, and I think they're kind of pitching to all of us, right? I mean, in some sense, like the power of symbols. Yes, yes. Now let's apply them.
Well, so many change agents you just reciting, and it is also observable, Caroline. Chaplin and Hitler, 2 days apart.
4 days. 4 days. Yeah. Yeah.
Pardon?
Yeah, but. Yeah, four days apart. Charlie Chaplin's April 16th, 1889. Adolf Hitler, April 20th. But yeah, no. But the point is well taken. Yeah, they're right there. The antidote right next to the poison.
A wonderful juxtaposition, and so the play of light and shadow.
Yeah, and we remember the evergreen of his soliloquy in the Little Dictator, still resonant and powerful, wonderful. And then, you know, when we look at Jean Cocteau and Dion Fortune, we go people who, you know, retold old myths. Cocteau's Orphée is very trippy movie about Orpheus, you know, and just bringing these things up. And part of what we'd mentioned backstage is, you know, to our many mentors and cultural richness in the past, they had, you know, keys, but they didn't always put the keys in the lock, right? And so they're handing them to us. Instead of a baton, we get a bag of keys going, well, let's put this in the lock and see how we might practice this to make the world better. You know, power of, I love that, you know, Neptune actually the moon in Pisces right now in the realm of ancestral download before this new moon says, well, what in human history has, you know, drawn out the best of humans to in a collaborative, wise, ingenious way to humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius? Let's bring all of that up for fresh expression, right? And I love that today Venus is at 22 plus Aries, which is a woman carries a precious veiled burden into the future, and she's holding the spot where the new moon will happen, you know, on Sunday night, sun and moon at that degree, going, right, how do we keep as much life, a precious veiled burden into the future? Go, right, so... But then the sleeper cells, can we include, do you think of your own 1941 chart? I know so many spicy 1941 beings who are, you know, on the eve of turning 80, and they're water snakes, they're spicy, might you want to speak to, you know, that year, just for fun, your fellow water snakes?
Well, that the 1941, a wonderful birth mate, born a month after me, is Dylan. Another wonderfully exemplary of 1941 energies and potential. That it so was a dark time. A time of the 30 Years' War, World War One, Great World Depression, World War Two, all in a row, and that symbolically in 1941, three events happened: the laying of the cornerstone for the Pentagon, the new Defense Department befitting the American Empire, two, the Manhattan Project was decided and birthed. And three, in Germany, the final solution was decided in that year. Mm-hmm. And of course, World War II already raging in Europe and in Asia. So 1941 was also notably a beginning of the 18-19 year cycle of Pluto through Leo. And you too are a Pluto and Leo, but Pluto and Leo born in the 1940-41 period, stretching towards 1958. And of course, that I mentioned Dylan. Dylan comes of age in 1962. That is, he turned 21, and he was primed for becoming a world voice,
right.
Mover of spirit and events.
And yes, and
wonderfully. Yeah. Of course, Frank Zappa was born in 1941. John Lennon was born at the end of 1940. But all of those notables becoming of age as the 60s were being born. And of course, also, very notably, that you talk about positive intrigues, the civil rights movement was teaching all of us what resistance, and in the Thoreau Gandhi nonviolent resistance tradition, the black population leadership was a teaching moment for all of us in the breakthroughs of the 1960s, but certainly the Summer of Love learned from the civil rights movement, and so much of that energy, the energy of Pluto coming into Leo and overthrowing tradition, that the revolution first in arts and music, and then science, and then in collective consciousness and events.
Yes. And just a little sidebar, that it's 1941 when the cornerstone for the Pentagon is laid on September 11th. Just a little resonant hum there. Yeah, and then Pluto and Leo, I think it's useful to put out for ourselves and the humming team, you know, yeah, these generational cycles. So Pluto, all that is hidden in Leo, let's make it visible, right? So it and also very much the death and resurrection show, the which you say then kind of medium matures in the 60s, but on all these things are getting handed to us. And when you mentioned Dylan, right, a Gemini, and so kind of humming back to that Pluto-Neptune-Gemini conjunction, the power to really, you know, lob into the collective that which is powerfully resonant, because, yes, he certainly did. So Pluto, Leo, right, the beginning, 1941, we love that. And then a little tip of to the early 1950s Saturn-Neptune conjunction, again, the power of symbols. Imagination lays the tracks for the reality train, right? And when we get to the 60s, you know, the great phrase in France and the revolution in 68 is all power to the imagination. And then I wanted to toss to you what we were talking about also last night, 1993, right, the Uranus-Neptune conjunction in Capricorn. So now it's like, let's apply this. And I'm starting, the way I think about it is, you know, who comes in for readings and sessions and shows up and, you know, wants to play. And right now I'm getting a whole lot of 1993 and some 2005s. But 1993, and I say to all the people with whom I've done sessions, going, Uranus Neptune, I remember when you were born, 1993, because I woke up with a voice in my head from dream that said, we must learn to work with water in a revolutionary way. And I'm like, okay, all right. Neptune, water, Uranus, revolution, innovative. And the first person I did a reading for, and I said that to, he said, well, I'm at Brown University, I'm studying mythology, but also science in regard to how we can have clean fuel derived from wave action in the water. And I've got, oh, carry on, that's good. And other people who are powerful bringers alive of old mythologies, you know, one of our guests from 2-3 weeks ago, Sophie Strand, you know, that 1993, very humming. It's because we're welcoming everybody, right? Because it, You know, as we said, you know, it's a renaissance. You know, who brought what, right?
Well, and Caroline, that at a further reach, we in Positive Intrigues, what is a new cosmology? What is new myth, and what is us re-enchanting cosmos and re-enchanting, regenerating with all my relations? And that one part in this whole Positive Intrigue theme, that Native American wisdom, the past and the future are always with us. And so, in this, especially year 2021, the dominant aspect of the outer planet cycles, Saturn is square to Uranus. Saturn in Aquarius, square Uranus in Taurus. Negative interpretation of an astrological square, tradition collides with innovation. There is a war between the old and the young. It can be separation and control energy. A positive intrigue take on Saturn square Uranus is we can choose from the past in a sense that how does the future create the present? And if the past and the future are always with us, that our ability to choose, not be haunted by, not be fated by, but in a co-creative choice, we can take the best elements of the past and reject, disinherit what is false and old, and create in our visionary selves, our visions of the future, a better now. And to me, positive intrigue is how are we especially emphasizing the visionary role that we all potentially play. And this is team effort, this positive intrigue business. It's conspiracy in a high sense of that concept. And that it is as visionaries that we will create a better now, choosing the best from the past.
Right. And yeah, many astrologers, and you don't need to. We're all practicing astrology without needing to know it. So in everyone's life is this issue of Saturn Uranus. How much structure? How much improv? And as you mentioned, there's the clash, the descriptive element in which you go, well, structures of societal support are collapsing under crisis. Boom, Texas and just everywhere going, whoa, as an incentive to experiment. So there's the descriptive part of crisis, but astrology says that's a disaster, that's dis against the stars, right? When we put our petty small wills against the larger pulse, and then there's the guiding consider with the stars, which is, you know, that rather than a clash, it's an assignment to get illusorily estranged principles to dance together, you know, in us and in the world. And as you say, you know, indigenous guiding wisdom, you know, indigeneity, as Curtis Catawba coined the phrase, a student of Dan Wildcat's and told me by Bob Goff, you know, all the ancestors and all the strands of attribution really crucial. But yeah, so that, you know, I brought up Sir Herbert Reed's great quote, only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology, which is very this square, right? And right now, you know, what is, you know, cooperators are standing by, and who are they? And we have, you know, this fabulous lineup in Aries, woof, 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 and you being in Aries as well, woof, woof. And so we go, well, where's Mars? And we go, well, Mars is in Gemini, the heroic stirring of the power of language. and then Mars quintiles Mercury and Chiron. It's very exciting right now. The capacity to open portals between worlds, you know, and then Mercury quintiles Pluto. So right now, just for all of us, you know, our dedication, it says language is particularly potent at our Council of Positive Intrigue, and that our words and our story and our manner of relating be in accord with our democratic dedicated heart, right? So because the words are eager, they're very lively, they're eager to come alive. So we can play with what would we like to invite in, you know, and yes, all guiding wisdom from humans, plants, animals, all flora, fauna, you know, coming on in, absolutely. And that's why I also liked the idea of Saturn-Uranus, that we're no longer cringing, you know, in front of some imagined grown-up, like, oh, if we were animists, if we, you know, some daddy from Harvard, or William Blake's term for Yahweh, nobodaddy, some nobodaddy, and we go, no, let it be a liberation so that what's going on with other people is useful information but not constraint, right? Isn't that... Is that a fun idea? You know, and we go, everybody, you know, everybody's an animist, and whatever we speak to in ourselves and in others is the part that we're inviting to play, you know, woof, woof, want to play. So talking to everything, and I think maybe part of the highly encouraged introversion of ongoing now is, you know, people are talking out loud to themselves alone, apparently alone, in quotes, you know, more and more. I certainly am talking to things, you know, well, certainly talking to the birds and the thing and the whatever. And then every now and then I go, oh, the neighbors are hearing me. And it's like, no, let the neighbors be animists as well, going, there we go, we just, yeah. And so our internal mutterings. But I think, you know, many, many stories all going on at once, nothing simple. We love nuance. But I think the introversion has kind of popped people into relating to many things that are not just human. I know that the community of friends that I have is embodied in things. It's like Martine Brechtel said, to feed the indigenous soul, let us have around us things that we know who made them, you know, or they have a story, right? And I am surrounded by things that people gave me or made, right? And I address the person going, you know, hello, Kathy Gallagher, when I use your knife. Hello, whatever. Hello, you know, hello, cat meditating doorstop. You know, I mean, that it is all people. So there is this, you know, kind of lively quickening. And I know we will do a grown-up show at some point, but yeah, I did want to just touch on briefly, you know, Kim Stanley Robinson's amazing book, Ministry of the Future, which you have finished reading, and I have not yet. I just wanted to touch a little bit on it, you know, in that sense of, well, what do we want to add? And I do want to toss it to you, because you've said many great things. As I was reading it going, does it get more fun? No, you said. Is there more Venus? No, not really. Is there some trickster, you know, play and wisdom? And you said, no, right? But what I'll toss back to you, you said that where it arrives is a world mind is possible. That's what you said, right?
And that is so, in my mind, when we were discussing what is positive intrigue and fruitful in that theme, and that the value of Ministry for the Future, the Kim Stanley Robinson publication 2020, that Ministry for the Future is a utopian response to our ecological crises, especially the crisis of global warming and greenhouse gases. So that a dawning world mind, a level of world cooperation not previously known to history, is imagined in the Ministry for the Future, and they create categories of human activity, like a very important department is weather disasters, natural disasters. And so under the pressure, and as many of us have long theorized, consciousness, that requires a breakdown before breakthrough. And Ministry for the Future in the year 2023 imagines a heat wave that is especially intense in India and takes out millions of people as a direct result of the harsh heat wave. That causes a change in global denial of the murder of the environment, and efforts begin. The UN creates a ministry for the future, and as the author says, it's a messy utopia, that it has part of us being positive intrigue together, and going back, Caroline, to your Uranus-Neptune conjunction, 1993, my first grandson was born that year, and that breakthroughs in terms of unconscious and what we are becoming more psychically and perceptively alive to, so for me, symbolized by the youth, and both youth having a new level of voice coming out of that Uranus-Neptune conjunction, and also breakthroughs, understanding in terms of our psyche, our depth psychology, as some would frame it, that Uranus-Neptune conjunction symbolizing breakthroughs, and I would suggest examples, for sure the continuing breakthroughs in racial justice, but even more gay rights and gender identity as symbolizing breakthroughs in our conscious restriction, breakthroughs with old myth and what is possible both psychically and environmentally.
Right. Then also we'd said being kind of pattern detectors when the Parkland youth transformed the horrific horror into dedication to a collective. I go, oh, okay. Well, they're at the time they were 18. It was 2018. So I go, okay, born in 2000. They're dragons with a Saturn Jupiter conjunction in Taurus. Welcome again, positive generation reporting in, stewards of the earth, and as you say, also embodiments of tolerance and new generations coming up, in which it's like however anybody is in their true sense is completely fine. And that goes back to my sort of spirit mentor, Dion Fortune, saying the purpose of ritual magic is to spiral into group mind. Here we go, Neptune. Expanded wisdom and tolerance. Going tolerance, yeah. So there's many, there's the, just as you say, there's the crisis and the old and the young and the conflict and the whatever. But underneath all that is, again, expanded wisdom and tolerance and who brought what. And we have things to do. We can't be distracted by, these huge cons of condescension or racism or denial of anybody's authentic Eros self, Mars Venus unique combination, right? So that's what it's part of the positive intrigue that we're here to do. So we're going to take a very very short musical break, as is usual, because it's Taj Mahal and that's always great. Our perfect guest for today is Jerome McGeorge. It is the dark of the moon, so it's time for positive intrigue within everyone, and we will be right back after this very short break.
constellations that dazzled them crossed his eyes. She shook the constellations that dazzled them crossed his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chiny, 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 come blow my chiny home. Home. Telegraph my indigo sky ship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, and our perfect guest for today and every day, really, is Jerome McGeorge, founder of Organic Valley. At this conspiratorial dark of moon, right? It's the dark of the moon, traditionally when people would gather to determine the course of culture, when the protoplasm of reality, of group mind, is especially receptive to imaginative imprint. And back to you, Jerome, and a little bit on your great distilled animation of Kim Stanley Robinson's Ministry for the Future, because yeah, he does. It is prodigious, and he is a great, great thinker and contributor of political and what is beyond capitalism and how do we need to restructure everything. Saturn Uranus, think wilder, think wilder. You know, how do we adopt? How do we evolve as if the viruses are evolving and mutating every hour? We usually take quite a long time. I think we might go, oh, viruses, we humans could use rapid evolution. Could we make some deal, right? What you know how to do? So he does do. It is prodigious, and I will finish reading it. Especially because you've guided it so well. A world mind is possible, because now we're kind of humming back even to the late 1890s too, going the shared vision, and to animate an all-inclusive inspirational story, a world mind is possible. But I think what's really important that you and Kim bring up is, gotta earn it. It's not, flibbity gibbet, like, oh, everything will be okay. And that's why it does open with, as you say, millions being killed in a heat disaster in India. And then here we are. So it's putting, here we are. The world's on fire. And that wants to be the background reference of everything we do, really, to acknowledge that. And then, as I'd said, with reverently irreverent, I go, all right, okay, and I will get to the end, and I do honor what he's done, and all of that. But I'd like a little more Uranus Taurus. I'd like him to just go eat some mushrooms with his buddy Paul Stamets, and that would really help, just to bring the kind of collaborative animism into play to address the real hard truth. But what you're, honoring and inviting in, indigenous wisdom is fully aware of the hard truth, right? But keeps the magic of willingness to cooperate with forces and intelligences larger than ourselves alive. Does that?
Well, and part of the indigenous renaissance, you're reminding me, Caroline, is the storytelling from indigenous tradition that is so alive in the world today. That,
yes.
Well, and also in the themes that we have discussed today, you mentioned post-capitalism, but I would also say we are post-anthropocentric. We need to become less human-centered and more in the all my relations wisdom. But not only post-anthropocentric, we're overly human-centered, but post-patriarchal. And that too, I have two what inspires me in this moment of great peril, as you were speaking, the fires of ecocide, that I am inspired by the empowerment of women and women with voice and leadership. I am also impressed by the discussion of youth that we briefly hit upon, and youth with voice, and that to move to intrigue with power and positive vision, how do we move away from a past that is anthropocentric? How do we move into post-patriarchy, post-capitalism? These are part of what we need to vision, to intrigue. How do we stop ecocide? How do we say stop to some of these crises so inherited from the last 6,000 years called civilization, and create a new world mind, which of course will require a new myth? And the storytellers, especially among youth and women, are, there's millions of allies, is a feeling I also have deep faith.
Mm. Right, and then you know, I like to every now and then chant to myself, let the hubris of humanism be eclipsed by the truth of animism, right? Yeah, into the cauldron. Pluto gives us a cauldron, right? You know, humans is the measure of all things. Now, into the cauldron, you know, and this willingness to cooperate. Yeah, so intrigue with power, yes. And just that sense of, I do think, you know, I think part of the phenomenon also is like, I can't tell you how many people of many disguises and assignments are all engaged in microdosing. And it's a huge phenomenon, and whether one is or is not is a small point, really. It's in the group mind, this sacrament of kinship and increased pattern perception and willingness to cooperate and a sense of the underlying beauty of things. And we go, it's quite humming. It's a crucial part of the whole conversation. And it's like, you know, Stamets said he thought the mycelia invented the internet to help save the world. Again, a mixed thing, but it is, you know, who brought what, an incredible connective. But also the wit, you know, I just want to bring the oft-quoted part of Stamets up, you know, because we're in this riptide, right, where science is proving folklore. And, you know, Johns Hopkins has its entheogenic wing on psilocybe mushrooms. And Stamets saying, you know, it is now proven, you know, by grown-ups, that the psilocybe mushrooms calm down the amygdala, right, the kind of flight or fight aggressive thing, which, again, let's waft this into the atmosphere, all of America and the world, just where there's too much hyper-yang Mars death frenzy, just cool on out, right? And increases the cultivation of curiosity, confidence, and kindness. And as Stamets says, those are leadership qualities, right? So, yeah, and we go, right. So the allies, the mushrooms are trying, everything's trying to help our rogue species out, reporting in from the past, you know, who brought what, and, you know, whatever of humans engaged in. And, you know, I gave you the Matthew Arnold quote, to be cultured is to be acquainted with the highest possibilities of the human spirit throughout time. And I think it's a good beginning, but I like to add in going, and the highest possibilities of wolves and sea slugs and, you know, bats and lemurs and, I mean, everything, the intelligence, you know, and it might be, you know, here's part of our own sense of ourselves, you know, what is it to be human? And everybody's invited to wonder, you know, aside from our rude manners, you know, it might be the opportunity, Jupiter, responsibility, Saturn, to borrow qualities of intelligence from our you know, animal plant world going. So everybody gets to syncretize their own kind of what they admire going, chamomile. The more you step on it, the better it grows. It's a good mascot for some movement, right? And we go, the resilience, you know. So everything real, everything symbolic. And I think at this dark of the moon council of positive intrigue, just beginning to stir the cauldron, like who brought what, and how do we want to emerge? And I don't know if you have the new moon chart, you know, before you, but this new moon on Sunday is, here we are, dark of the moon. The new moon is pretty fabulous. And let me just list the lineup of who's here. The cooperators are standing by, and who are they? The sun and moon at 22 Aries, woman carries precious veiled burden into the future with a quintile to Saturn, meaning this, there's a receptivity in collective societal group mind to this. And we, all of us now, can open the portal and go, right, you know, informed reverence for life into group mind, right? You know, it's again, oft quoted, I love Eddie Izzard saying Star Trek, a very advanced civilization, but their phasers had only two settings, stun or kill. We need many, many more phaser settings. And he's got a great list, you know, left kettle on at home setting. I will kill you. Oh, wait, I got it. Or sudden interest in moss setting. I will kill you. No, moss. And I think part of our serious whimsy is to expand our phaser settings. You know, sudden interest in protecting what we love. To waft into group mind. But if it's okay, I'm just going to give the Sabian symbols for the powerful lineup in Aries on this new moon, 10:31 p.m. East Coast time, Sunday, right? So 7:31 p.m. West Coast time. So Uranus is leading. It's in Taurus, and its image is a Red Cross nurse, a willingness to go into tough situations as it squares Saturn, going, yeah, altruism. May we all be willing. And then the lineup in Aries, Chiron, is a scholar gives new expression to old symbols, right? So all of us, you know, whatever we've studied or loved, it's like to bring it alive through a fresh expression. Right next to Mercury in Aries, woof woof, at one of my favorite degrees, an Indian woman weaving a magical basket out of serpents. And it's like, whew, that's a fun image. For each of us to weave, you know, beauty and danger, right? To weave these different stories together into art, you know. And then Ceres Demeter, goddess of the earth, presider over dwarf planet, presider over the Eleusinian mysteries, longest ritual initiation. So we're all in this initiation, and that's where they were definitely drinking psilocybe mushrooms, and everyone saw Persephone having gone down into the underworld, a maiden returning an initiated queen. So for everybody, you know, the girl goes down, doesn't matter about age, returns self-possessed woman. The boy, the puer, goes down, returns a green man wizard. You know, however we want to customize this, this country goes down and returns with, you know, ingenious altruism. You know, again, just everybody play with this. And then just to complete the thing, then there's the sun and the moon. And then Venus in Aries is at a great degree, through imagination, lost opportunities are regained. We go, all right, let's entertain that possibility. And exactly square Pluto. I don't know, what do you give me your take on Venus at 26 plus Aries, square Pluto at 26 plus Capricorn on this new moon. They're pretty close right now. Do you have a thought about Venus-Pluto?
It could be the erotic in both light or shadow manifestation would be an immediate Venus square to Pluto in Capricorn. That on the other hand, that there has been a liberation in, some would say, of instincts, a liberation of behavior, and the sexual revolution of the 1960s, the gay and gender revolutions, much more contemporaneous, are, there's echoes certainly on the Pluto side, But when Venus would be square, that Eros in the realm of Pluto is, well, some would say a dangerous combination, but also full of incredible, perhaps intense, experience. And I wanted to say, Caroline, in the flow of this discussion, that the contribution for some of us of psychedelics in our intrigues, and indeed intrigues that might become transformations of consciousness, and it is consciousness that needs to be our primary at this time, that our actions, there's much to critique, but it is only as our consciousness will guide us. And of course, psychedelics have the root of psyche, and it is my concept that psyche is a cosmic force field, that psyche, consciousness, is streaming throughout cosmos, and that we humans are not the source of psyche. We have receptors, and they are not just brain neural. They are also endocrine, the magic of the endocrine glands, and that these are more gateways to exploring what psychology wants to call, and there's that psyche word again, the unconscious. And the unconscious is cosmos. And how do we receive psyche from cosmos? And that we're wanting to be the best receptors we can be. I love combining some modern and some back to Nietzsche, who said, Earth Mother is speaking for those with delicate ears.
I don't know, the dogs are chiming in on that. They're going, oh, we agree with that. And yes, and my I had to, in the middle of that worthy words, all right, I had to look up the North Node Sabian symbol for the new moon just for the fun of it. There's a lot of 11. It's April 11th, you know. And remember, humans made up the Sabian symbols. It's an old tradition of metaphors associated with each degree, but in keeping with what you've been saying, the image for the North Node, the direction in which growth lies, is black women boldly assert themselves, and we go, all right, that's the new moon. We love this, and you know, already, you know, many, you know, black women mayors of cities, you know, and just everywhere, just the, you know, in as part of our collective team, it's like, ooh, leadership there, wonderful, to honor that, and just to go back to the Venus square Pluto, which is in my chart as well, so it remains a mystery, but yeah, danger and beauty and all, but I also, it's something to do with the nature of relationships. First, what you said is, you know, people can plan bad things, and it behooves all of us to animate the desirable possibilities all around us, lest we leave them by default to the Dementors. So it could be explosive and volatile, because this language says things are dangerous and volatile in direct proportion to the force of their exclusion, like boom. Right? But to welcome and play, you know, and so to, I think it says something about culture and also about personal relationships, that the ones that are going to last, you know, or be worthy, is, it's not so much, you know, life partner or spouse, right? But Venus and Pluto really likes the term accomplice. And I've been having these conversations with people going, oh, you know, I said, do you want a partner? Do you want a life partner, a spouse? How about an accomplice? And they're like, oh, yes, an accomplice. Right. So it's part of the positive intrigue to frame it going, accomplices, that's really great. And then I do like Michael Ventura, multiple Scorpio. We were playing sort of taboo poker, and about, you know, and we said, well, what if we put some standards on the work table about relationships, that we would only sleep with people we would want at our deathbed? And we both thought that was a fun idea. It's like, let's really raise the standards there. And it's like, oof, that's and then the Venus Pluto says, you know, relationship, you know, between two or, you know, more people, you know, wants to be dedicated to something larger than itself. It's like, okay, we have accomplices, who brought what, and what is our connection, and how do we contribute to the world? It's, you know, it's kind of how astrology makes a distinction between love affairs and accomplices, partnerships. Seventh house is, it belongs to the collective in some way. But I think it's a fun, useful time for each person to define Saturn, define the quality of their dedication and what they would want. Right now at this dark of moon, it's like internal dedication magnetizes outward opportunity. Kind of always, but especially now, I think, you know, and so we're in this dark of the moon, and for each person to go, well, what am I dedicated to? And that internal dedication really hums the outward signal. What I've been saying to, you know, self and many people with Uranus transits, and we all having those in a collective sense, is the value of, or one of the values of gathering now, is to say, if we entertain the possibility that, you know, that backstage is trying to help out the rogue humans, and that we're moving into a spring, sort of launched on this new moon tide, of increased serendipitous synchronicity, increased connection, increased call and response, the right conversation, the right book, the right connecting. Uranus says, again, you humans provide the metaphors, we'll provide the molecules, and we'll do the booking. So we each get to say, well, if we entertain that possibility that we're moving into a field of connectivity, for each one of us, what do we want to connect with? And I think just wondering that is good. You know, Neptune chimes in and says, we just want you humans to wonder. Certainty's a booby prize. Nobody knows anything. What's going to happen is a completely irrelevant question. What's available to work with, to dance with, right? So, so there.
Also, popping into consciousness in terms of intrigue and a different direction, perhaps, but part of a better world future, is the concept, maybe it should be goddess of grace. And what is restoring more grace in all of our relationships? And how can we best conspire, intrigue in that direction?
And be reverently irreverent. I mean, everything wants to be thrown into the cauldron. It only does good. And I was heartened by ally Sophie Strand saying, you know, explaining why she's no longer fond of the phrase divine feminine, because it's too human. And I go, that's kind of fun, and a little bit, you know, set everything free. But this idea also of language, culture uses up language and powerful metaphors and turns them into brands, into, you know, the capitalist brand, right? And then it's time for it to throw it into the cauldron. So things that arise that have some vitality to them are useful, and then they become a brand. But we don't go whaley-whaley. We go, that's fine. We're full of inventive, you know, throw it into the cauldron, ladle out something else, you know, experiment. So even, you know, gods and goddesses, I don't use those terms much anymore. I don't feel that there is much fun to be had. But for each person, again, to their own affinity, and just go, ooh, throw that in. But throwing into the cauldron, you know, all the old structures, you know, and then full of wonder, what shall we ladle out in cooperating with nature's guiding genius, with Janine Benyus and E.O. Wilson and their great website, asknature.org, comes up with a question box, and you type in any any design problem, and it tells you how nature solves it. And it's like we have so much, and I do like through imagination, lost opportunity is regained, and with Venus sextile Jupiter, it says to everybody, in a sense, here's some lost opportunities. Whatever any of us wanted to do 12 years ago, one Jupiter story cycle, the gods, the whoever, the intelligences, the gods, what the hell, the divine feminine chimes in and says, it wasn't time then. You know, each one of us, you weren't quite ready, and culture was not yet receptive. Now, to each person, you're ready, and culture is receptive. And I think that's part of the Neptune and Pisces. There's a receptivity, an enhanced receptivity for that which we hold dear, you know, and it ties into, you know, 1894 and 1941 and 1960s and 1993 and 2000 and our allies joining us from 2005, you know, kind of ollie income free. So we have we're in our last moment here. I give it to you, Jerome, if you want. Well, we want to wish you also a fantastic blessing. Happy birthday. Yay, 1941 water snakes. And any last very short words there for you, if you want.
Maybe intriguing, how do we transform China, the enemy, into China, the ally? And there is a celebratory human sapiens mind that we, as members one of another, can inspire, indeed, have positive intrigue sessions abounding.
Yes. That's great. Yes, and we throw addiction to having an enemy into the cauldron. There we go, rummaging around. Well, it is a delight to converse with you, Jerome McGeorge. We will do so in perpetuity, may it be so. Thank you so much, and thanks always to wonderful board op Kirsten Thomas, and you can find me at coyotenetworknews.com for many ways to play, and we will reconvene next week. Thanks again, Jerome. Woof, 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 woof.
Woof, woof.